Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Narada instructs the Prachetas, text number 4. Tamagatam tu utaya pranipatya binandya cha puditva yatha desham sukhas sinam atabruvan Tamagatam tu utaya pranipatya binandya cha puja yitva yata desham sukhasinam ata bruvan. Ladies. Agata tu taya. Pranipatya binandya cha. Yatvitvam tadesham sukhasinam atabravan tamagatam dutaya pranipatya binandacha kudaitva yatadesham kanizam atabravan. Tam, to him. Agatam, appeared. Te, all the prachetas. Utaya, after getting up. Pranipatya, offering obeisances. Abhinandya, offering welcome. Cha, also. Puja yitva, worshiping, yata adesham, according to regulative principles, sukha asinam, comfortably situated, ata, thus, abruvan, they said. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As soon as the Prachetas saw that the great sage Narada had appeared, they immediately got up, even from their asanas. As required, they immediately offered obeisances and worshipped Him. And when they saw that Narada was properly seated, they began to ask Him questions. Please repeat. As soon as the Prachetas saw that the great sage Narada had appeared, they immediately got up even from their asanas. As required, they immediately offered obeisances and worshipped Him. And when they saw that Narada was properly seated, they began to ask Him questions. Purport, it's significant that all the Prachetas were engaged in practicing yoga to concentrate their minds on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Vacharane, Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadhyade Sutarne. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna goes to the first six chapters to explain what is the process by which we can learn concentration. Generally in the material world, there are only two activities. One of them is hankering and the other is lamenting. We're hankering for what we don't have and lamenting over what we had and lost or which we couldn't get. So that's material life, hankering and lamentation. Shoshati and Kangshati. And if one can get free from hankering and lamentation, then one can see all living entities as spiritual beings. Because those who help us fulfill our hankerings and avoid our lamentations, they're called our friends. And those who call us, cause us, or cause obstacles in our endeavors to obtain things, or cause us grief by taking things away from us, they're called our enemies. So friends and enemies is only according to people's activities in the material world. If someone gives you a huge amount of money, it would be very difficult to call them an enemy. And if someone took away a huge amount of money, it would be very difficult to call them a friend. On the other hand, the actual friend, Krishna, Suridam Sarabhutanam, sometimes he may give us things, and sometimes he may take them away. But he's saying he's our friend, whether he gives us things or takes them away. Well, that's not the material concept of life. When God gives things to people, they say they become religious. Yes, it is very nice to be religious because you get so many things from God. He takes care of you. You pray for this, you pray for that. As we've heard, give me a wife, give me a house, give me a color TV. Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. So with such prayers, God becomes obliged to give the living entity what he's desiring, supposedly. But if I'm praying for something and God doesn't give it to me, then we become adverse to God. Why God has not given? I have asked, and he has not given. Something is wrong with God. Maybe he is not all-powerful. Maybe he doesn't like me. Maybe, who knows? But faith is diminished. On the other hand, here are the Pachetas, or we were going over the Bhagavad Gita. So this is called Karma Yoga. How to be equal in gain and loss, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor. These are all part of hankering lamentation. No one is hankering for dishonor. Oh, when will I be dishonored? It's been such a long time. Although in one sense, we find that sometimes there are contradictions in the material world. Vanasura, with his 1,000 arms, was the heavyweight, undefeated champion boxer in the world. Mainly because it was very hard to block his punches. If you have 1,000 arms, it is very hard to block your punch. Therefore, he went all over the universe, challenging different persons, please fight with me, I want to defeat you. But everyone fled when they saw this man has 1,000 arms. And therefore, he would spend his time hitting his arms against mountains and smashing them into dust. One day he went to Lord Shiva, who was his guardian of the city, Shonitapura. And there he asked Lord Shiva, he challenged Lord Shiva, more or less. He said, you've given me this benediction where I have 1,000 arms. Everyone's afraid of me. I want to fight with someone. Indirectly, he was more or less, I guess, challenging Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva said, don't worry, my dear demon. soon there'll come someone and they'll smash you to pieces and your flag of victory will no longer fly. So what happened? What was the mood of Banasura? Did he become depressed or in anxiety or fear? No, he became elated that finally someone's going to take away my itching sensation from my arms to fight because they'll smash me. In other words, sometimes this, or the material world is more or less all itching sensations. We're being driven by lust and its corollaries, which are all different degrees of illusion. And it's the scratching of the itch, whether it be eating, sleeping, mating, or defending, which causes satisfaction. Therefore, when the itch is taken away, as in the case of Banasura, then there is some satisfaction. I can no longer fight. Therefore, I'm not driven by the urge to fight anymore. I'm relieved from that problem of material existence. But that's not sufficient for self-realization. By simply not hankering and lamenting, or even seeing everyone equally, that doesn't mean, or at least I know what's not to some degree, but I don't know what really is. Therefore, the next stage is transcendental knowledge. Not only that I'm a spiritual soul, but what is my identity? Perfection of life is not to find out that we're not this body, and we're not Jesus Christ, and we're not Napoleon. We're none of these things. But that doesn't mean we've found out who we are. If we wake up from our dream and realize that we're not a bird, but if we can't remember who we really are, then we're still in trouble. We're in trouble being a bird or a mouse or a rat in a dream. But when we wake up and we can't remember who we are, we're still in trouble. Therefore, knowledge means to understand what is our spiritual identity and who the supreme spiritual person is. But not only we should have knowledge and we should be detached, but we should work with knowledge. Because if I work and I forget that knowledge, then my work is imperfect. Or if I have knowledge and I don't do anything, then it's still not perfect. So karma, yoga, action, Krishna consciousness, and ultimately what is the culmination of the knowledge is to learn how to concentrate the mind upon Krishna and perform our activities out of devotion for him. So therefore we come to the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Maya Satta Manakparta, Yogam Yunjan Manashaya, Asam Chayam Samagramam Yatagyasasi Tatshinu. Now hear from me, O son of Pritha. Krishna is simply asking Arjuna to listen. Obviously, he must have thought Arjuna had fallen asleep or something on the battlefield. After all, six chapters have gone by, and perhaps Arjuna is getting a little tired. So Krishna says, listen. Just try and listen. Arjuna has already rejected the yoga system. Therefore, what hope is there unless he learns how to listen? How by practicing yoga? So Krishna is going to tell us how to practice yoga. He's already gone over the Ashtanga yoga system, so this must be a different yoga system. How by practicing yoga? But this yoga is in full consciousness of Krishna, with the mind attached to Krishna. So that's the yoga. You can know me in full, free from doubt. So the goal of yoga is to know Krishna and get free from all our doubts caused by illusion, caused by misidentifying ourselves with this body and so many other things, and not being aware of Krishna or identity, therefore doubting whether there is a Krishna or that I'm actually Krishna's servant or that I'm spiritual. So many doubts. But if we simply learn how to hear, but that is not so easy. Therefore, we have to practice yoga in such a way as that to develop our hearing power so that ultimately by that hearing, we concentrate the mind on Krishna with full devotion. But here, the hearing process, part of it, or part of the yoga process, is to learn the proper etiquette, how to deal with a superior devotee. Because the knowledge, if we're going to get it from hearing, we're going to have to hear from someone. They're going to have to speak. And unless I have the proper attitude towards the speaker, I'm not going to be able to hear very much. According to my attitude, when someone speaks, that's how much I hear. If I have no interest at all in what the person has to say, I'm not going to hear anything. And if I don't think the person has any much value, then why would I think that he has much to say? And if I think the person has a very valuable contribution to give me, then obviously I'm going to listen in a different attitude, with a different attitude. Therefore, the speaker should have some realization, and here, of course, it's Narada Muni. He knows exactly what to say about Krishna, what is the process of focusing the mind upon Krishna, because he's already a fully self-realized person who constantly, with great concentration and devotion, focuses his consciousness upon Krishna. And because the Pachetas are interested in developing that quality of unalloyed, uninterrupted devotional service with full concentration upon Krishna, therefore, they treat him with all respect and want to make the situation such that Narada Muni is very enthusiastic to reveal that knowledge to the Pachetas. And the Pachetas are acting in such a way is that they're fully receptive to that knowledge. So what do they have to do? There's no bribe, there's no payment, but they have to give him some, whatever they have within their means, some comfortable position, some seat, some acknowledgement, some appreciation, some inquiry that's important, that Narada Muni is interested in answering, and that's beneficial for the Pachetas. And therefore the scene is set here so that Narada Muni will be fully disposed to reveal the essence of knowledge systematically to the Pachetas in such a way as that they'll become able to concentrate their minds fully upon Krishna with devotion. And the Pachetas are fully receptive to receive that knowledge and therefore make progress in the path of becoming fully conscious of Krishna. So this is our process too. And if we take the same attitude, whoever's coming here to speak, if we listen to Narada Muni, respect the Bhagavatam, because Narada Muni is appearing in the Bhagavatam, respect the Bhagavatam, and try to understand what the attitude of the Pachetas is, and try to manifest that or develop that same attitude of service and submission and receptivity, then we ourselves will learn how to concentrate our minds upon Krishna through our practical devotional service. And if we're not even thinking that that's a very valuable goal, we're not even thinking that's the goal, we're not even very conscious of what we're doing, then it's going to be a very long process because we're not going to be very much, if we're not interested in it, Narada Muni, that's what he's going to say. And if we don't have any interest, we're not going to listen to him very carefully. Because we'll think, what's the value of this? He's not talking about my real interest. I have so many things to do in the material world before I concentrate my mind upon Krishna. So why should I waste my time listening to Narada Muni? He may distract me from my goals in the material energy. If my mind was always concentrated on Krishna, I might forget all my materialistic activities and become a material failure. But that's not my objective. First, I'll become materially successful, and then after that, then I'll concentrate my mind upon Krishna when I have no other alternative. There's nothing left, then I'll take to Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. I have a plane to catch, so. Any questions? Quick questions? Yes. What we see is this Krishna's illusory energy speaking to us. It's like Haridas Thakur, one who's brought before the magistrate, the Qazi, and the Qazi was saying, Haridas Thakur, you should convert, become a good Muslim. Haridasa Thakura understood that through the Kasi, the illusory energy is speaking, so he didn't take it very seriously. There's Maya and there's Krishna. Obviously, Maya has a lot to say, and Krishna has a lot to say, but we accept Krishna, not illusion. But we should be respectful. When Sanatana Goswami was studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Nawab Hussein Shah came to break up his book, the discussion, then Sanatana Goswami treated him with respect. Not that he agreed with him, not that he appreciated, but he treated him with some respect because he was the king. So we should act appropriately, humbly and meekly in the material world when that's appropriate. And then we should not take seriously people who are speaking from illusion. They have nothing, you know. When they're speaking truth, we can accept it. Because even Chanaka Pandit says, we can take gold from a filthy place. But if they're just speaking pure, unalloyed ignorance, then why should we accept it? Anything else? Yes.
Yoga, pranayam.
Yes.
The practice pranayam. So, and Srila Prabhupada, he seems like avoid to make a comment about this pranayam. And I also.
Well, I'm not going to speak about the previous verse. I wasn't even here for the class. But in any case, I can't second guess Prabhupada. You know, why he didn't put in pranayama into the purport, that you'll have to ask him. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.